CD 5.
Oh, dear, said Quartz.
The trolls halted. The night closed in like velvet. An owl hooted eerily. At least Rincewind assumed it was an owl. He was a little hazy on ornithology. Perhaps a nightingale hooted, unless it was a thrush. A bat flittered overhead. He was quite confident about that. He was also very tired and quite bruised. Why, oh dear, he said. He peered into the gloom. There was a distant speck in the hills that might have been a fire. Oh, he said, you don't like fires, do you? Quartz nodded. It destroys the superconductivity of our brains, he said. But a fire that small wouldn't have much effect on old Grandad. Rincewind looked around cautiously, listening for the sound of a rogue troll. He'd seen what normal trolls could do to a forest. They weren't naturally destructive, they just treated organic matter as a sort of inconvenient fog. Let's hope he doesn't find it then, he said fervently. Quartz sighed. Not much chance of that, he said. They've lit it in his mouth.
It's a judgment on me, moaned Cohen.
He tugged ineffectually at his bonds. Twoflower peered at him muzzily. Gansia's slingshot had raised quite a lump on the back of his head, and he was a little uncertain about things, starting with his name and working upwards.
I should have been listening out, said Cohen. I should have been paying attention and not being swayed by all this talk about your washernames, your ding-chewers. I must be getting soft.
He levered himself up by his elbows. Herenna and the rest of the gang were standing around the fire in the cave mouth. The luggage was still and silent under its net in a corner.
There's something funny about this cave, said Bethan.
What?
Said Cohen.
Well, look at it. Have you ever seen rocks like those before?
Cohen had to agree that the semicircle of stones around the cave entrance were unusual. Each one was higher than a man, and heavily worn, and surprisingly shiny. There was a matching semicircle on the ceiling. The whole effect was that of a stone computer, built by a druid, with a vague idea of geometry and no sense of gravity.
Look at the walls, too.
Cohen squinted at the wall next to him. There were veins of red crystal in it. He couldn't be quite certain, but it was almost as if little points of light kept flashing on and off deep within the rock itself. It was also extremely drafty. A steady breeze blew out of the black depths of the cave.
"I'm sure it was blowing the other way when we came in," whispered Bethan. "What do you think, Twoflower?"
"Well, I'm not a cave expert," he said, "but I was just thinking that's a very interesting stalag thingy hanging from the ceiling up there. Sort of bulbous, isn't it?" They looked at it.
I can't quite put my finger on why, said Twoflower, but I think it might be rather a good idea to get out of here.
Oh, yes, said Cohen sarcastically. I suppose we just better ask these people to untie us and let us go, eh?
Cohen hadn't spent much time in Twoflower's company, otherwise he would not have been surprised when the little man nodded brightly and said, in the loud, slow and careful voice he employed as an alternative to actually speaking other people's languages,
"Excuse me, could you please untie us and let us go? It's rather damp and draughty in here. Sorry."
Bethan looked sidelong at Cohen.
Was he supposed to say that?
"It's novel, I grant you."
And indeed, three people detached themselves from the group around the fire and came towards them. They didn't look as if they intended to untie anyone. The two men, in fact, looked the sort of people who, when they see other people tied up, start playing around with knives and making greasy suggestions and leering a lot. Herenna introduced herself by drawing her sword and pointing it at Twoflower's heart.
"Which one of you is Rincewind the Wizard?" she said. "There were four horses. Is he here?"
"I don't know where he is," said Twoflower. "He was looking for some onions."
"Then you are his friends, and he will come looking for you," said Herenna. She glanced at Cohen and Bethan, then looked closely at the luggage. Trumon had been emphatic that they shouldn't touch the luggage. Curiosity may have killed the cat, but Herenna's curiosity could have massacred a pride of lions. She slit the netting and grasped